Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Good morning, everybody. Bill Handel here on a Saturday morning. Oh, yes. It's going to be a hot one tomorrow, so we're in pretty good shape today. I almost put on my long pants, my big boy pants, but nah. You know, I'm...
Why?
Yeah, no, why would I do that? All right, Rob Newton is sitting over there pretending to care, which is wonderful. I've got Jake sitting over there in the driver's seat. And Morgan coming in to figure out how to get the font bigger or bring in a magnifying glass, one or the other. I don't care. Yeah, I mean, I can't, you know, better. Yeah, a little better, a little bigger. No, you just made it smaller. All right. No, it's, can we do, all right, if I look really, okay, that'll work.
Yeah.
Yay. And that's Morgan, our computer maven over there. Screening today. So we've got, well, who's normally here? We've got our sort of Z team here instead of the A team. Fair enough. Phone number 800-520-1534. 800-520-1534. And I don't know if you're tired of hearing this because I'm certainly tired of saying this. Top of the hour, always the best time to call. And we will go through, and I do it very often, 2 hours straight without asking for a phone call because we have a jammed board. And then sometimes I'll be whimpering, saying, please call, please, please. I wish I were Dean on this show. Dean Sharp, who precedes the show. He is such a nice, nice guy. I mean, he'll take his time and just, you know, go through it very carefully.
He really cares about his listeners.
I know that. It's just, come on, guy, you know, speed it up. Come on. Come on. I get it. I get your point. Now shut up and let me answer the question. I just simply take many more phone calls than Dean does.
That's true.
He does. He'll, you know, go through a whole segment. Hey, hang on. And when we come back, I'll answer your question. I'll continue it on. And then through another segment. But wait a minute. I haven't finished yet, my dear. Just hang on, and I'll finish it. I don't know how long. Sometimes I'll stay good 30, 40 seconds on a call, but rarely. 800-520-1. And that, by the way, I'm a big fan of Dean's, incidentally. Just want to let you know. I think Dean knows more about stuff than you could ever imagine. This morning, I don't know if you were listening to him, drywall.
Drywall, yeah.
Right, in case you ever want to
do it.
Very
exciting.
Yeah, you know, no, it's exciting, but if you want to do your own drywall project, here's how we do it. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get a medical show right after that. If you want to do your own surgery, DIY surgery, here's how you do it. I've never known anybody to do a DIY drywall project. Dean knows those people. Fair enough. And the people who do it, listen to him. All right, 800-520-1534. This is Handle on the Law, marginal legal advice where I tell you, you have absolutely no case whatsoever. Out of Florida comes a story, and it is a story subsequent to the cops rushing into the apartment of Breonna Taylor. And her boyfriend, and of course we know how that ended up with the shooting death of Breonna Taylor, and of course the demonstrations, and the fact that the three cops were not charged. One was charged with reckless endangerment because he shot through the wall, into the neighbor's apartment building, but it had nothing to do with the shooting of Breonna Taylor. I mean, it's a pretty horrible circumstance that happened, and there's a lot of controversy. The no-knock warrant, did they announce themselves, et cetera? I'm going to give you another story, and this one actually is a happy, fun story about cops showing up when responding to there's a gunman in the apartment, and we've got some real problems. So cops rush to a house in Florida. A neighbor reported hearing someone inside the house screaming, "Shoot! Shoot! Whoa!" They immediately came to the door, the police, and thought there were guns in the house. And instead of pulling out their guns and rushing the place, they simply knocked on the door to find out what was going on. And you know what was going on? The couple inside the house were watching a hockey game, the Stanley Cup Finals, and the woman who was screaming, "Shoot, shoot," was referring to the hockey player about to shoot into the net. That was the "shoot, shoot" at the top of her voice. And the deputies thought it was hilarious, understood what happened, laughed it off. And don't you wish all the stories were like this? So I just wanted to give you a good news story in light of what happened that could have gone south very, very quickly. Oh, yes. Let me see. All right, Tony. Interesting question. It happens to so many of us. Hello, Tony. Welcome to Handle on the Law.
Hi, thank you.
Sure.
Hey, we bought airline tickets about 4 months ago through Expedia for the airline Interjet. And the day before we were supposed to take our trip, we found out that the trip had been canceled and no one notified us. We haven't gotten a refund for our tickets, and we haven't gotten any reimbursement for the charges that we incurred. Who was responsible, Expedia or Interjet? Who would I take to small claims court?
Expedia or what?
Interjet,
Interjet, the airline. Okay, I'm sorry. I thought you said the internet. I'm going, wait, that's where I got a little confused. It's the airline that canceled. It's not Expedia, and Expedia does not guarantee that the airline is going to fly, not fly, cancel or not. I mean, it's a platform where you can buy. So they're not an agency for the airline. And so
even though we never had any contact with Interjet at all.
Yeah, but I don't think they're considered an agent. I don't think you sue Expedia. I don't think that's going to work. And I've heard this story many times before. I have the same problem. I booked an airline flight on Air France this last summer. And of course, it was canceled because of COVID. And they said, we immediately called, it took forever to call. And they said, we'll refund your money. Okay. So a few days later, we get an email saying, no, we're not going to refund your money. We'll give you a voucher, which is good for a year. And I don't know what's going to happen if they still don't fly or I can't get on an airplane. And I don't know. My guess is I'll probably have to talk to Lufthansa because the French airline, the Air France, probably already surrendered to Lufthansa and they took it over. I have no idea. But we're all in the same position. And you can sue. How much did you lose on this one?
It's like $1,600.
$800. Make a claim. Has the airline contacted you at all?
No, they're just ignoring our calls. Expedia says they're trying to contact them.
Yeah, okay, don't call anybody. What you want to do is, if you can, get an email address from someone. Put it in writing.
Well, we have an email from Expedia saying they're working with Interjet.
Then that's all you can do.
Anything from Interjet.
And that's all. Then that's
all. Take them to small claims court.
Well, you want to take Interjet to small claims court? It's a company that's, I think, are they an American-based company?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I'm not either. What do you, and you have to find out where it is, where it's based, and then you get to, if it's in the United States, they have offices, then you get to go there and sue them. It's a mess. So at this point, you just have to do what you're doing now. You're not alone. It's just truly a god-awful mess. This is Handle on the Law. If you're injured and need a lawyer,
go to handleonthelaw.com.
KFI.
AM 640.
More stimulating talk.
In spite of all my fears, I can see it all so clear. I see it all so clear.
Whoa. And welcome back. Bill Handel here. On a Saturday morning. Here we go. Back to Handle on the Law, Marginal Legal Advice. Hi, Ed. You're up. Welcome to the show. And what is your problem that I'm supposed to care about and I don't? Go ahead.
Okay, Mr. Handel. I'm a 68-year-old, 100% disabled veteran.
Yeah, you know. Okay, well, thank you. Number one, thank you for your service. That's truly appreciated. And second of all, you sound at least 20 years older than 68. You know that, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I feel it.
Good. Okay.
With my disability. But seriously, I have a VA mortgage on my house. I had to call out a major air conditioning company because my air conditioner broke out here in Ontario during the heat. We came to an agreement when they came out the next day, put the air conditioner in, hand me the paperwork, and it wasn't what we came to the agreement on. They did a bait and switch. I fought with them.
Did you fight? Wait a sec. Ed, did you sign it?
All I did was they sent me an email while the person, the representative was here and says, for us to proceed, we need you to sign the email.
Okay. Did you sign it, by the way, Ed?
I did sign.
Okay.
And I have a lot of infirmities. I'm sorry.
No, that's
but
okay.
Anyways,
no, not to worry. Did you, let me throw some questions at you.
Sure.
Starting with, do you have an initial price that was given to you and then you signed something at home, another document? Is that what happened?
When they showed up, I had been promised they would give me the paperwork. Because of COVID, I was bad off. I didn't remember to have them hand me the paperwork. They installed the air conditioner, and then they bring me the paperwork getting ready to go home, and I'm like, this isn't what was agreed to.
Okay, but when you talk about this isn't what was agreed to, was that a verbal agreement, Ed?
I signed whatever the email.
No,
was.
I understand, but
I verbally agreed with Patrick over at this company. I don't know if I'm allowed.
Let
to
me,
say
Ed. We're going in a direction that you're not getting to my question.
Okay,
was it when you, based on what you thought they were going to charge, was that a phone call? Was that a conversation? Was that a bid? Was that in any written form the initial cost?
No written form,
okay.
The initial.
So all you have is a verbal promise from them that they would do it for less money than you signed for.
No, sir. It was on the interest rate. It was supposed to be 6.99. They came, when I finally got the paperwork, because I told them, I have to have the paperwork.
Right. So how much was it on?
999.
Okay. All right, yeah, there's an issue here because they're going to deny you ever had a conversation with them. Now, them coming in after the fact, because you have a 3-day rescissionary period, but you probably signed something that you installed it. Yeah, you've got a problem. How much? So 6.9 over what period of time, Ed?
10 years. Right. But it gets worse, Bill. I finally got them to agree to back down to 699. I signed paperwork on August 24th.
Okay, it's taken too long. So
okay, well, real quick, on September 14th, they put a mechanic's lien on my house.
Okay, why? Were you not making the payments?
I have not gotten my first
statement. Bill. You haven't gotten your first statement, and they put
no,
a mechanic's
lien.
Okay, you got. Have you called them and say, send me a statement, and I will pay you? You missed your first payment, and they put a mechanic's lien on?
No, sir. I missed no payments. I got
All right. If you've missed no payments and you're paying pursuant to the contract that was signed, clearly it's a big problem. The problem you have is that it's a little bit convoluted, a little complicated, because you have to make a motion to remove the mechanic's lien, and you have to probably put a bond on. I would contact a lawyer who does elder abuse. That's okay. All you can do. And you can go to handleonthelaw.com, and we have lawyers, and they'll at least, you know, whether they take the case or not, I don't know, because most lawyers like to get paid. And here it's not a question of payment. It's a question of removal of the mechanic's lien. But there could be some statutory attorney's fees. I don't know. But go to the website and find out if one of our lawyers can help. That's a tough one. That really is. That is, and there's no. You know, I can't yell at him and go, you're an idiot, because he's not, unfortunately. Well, no, unfortunately for me, I guess that works. Identity theft has become huge business, far more than it used to be. There are criminal gangs operating units dedicated just identity theft. And you truly need protection, at least I believe it. And I don't think you can do this on your own. It's above my pay grade, certainly. So every day we put our information at risk on the internet, and you're going to, in my opinion, well, not in my opinion, I know you're going to miss certain identity threats by just monitoring your credit. LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. And this is where the bad guys buy and sell information. So what LifeLock does is alert you if there is an issue, and if you really have a problem, they'll work to fix it. Now, no one can prevent all identity theft or monitor every transaction at every business, but they're offering a free dark web scan at LifeLock.com/scan. Promo code handle. Save up to 25% off your first year with a promo code handle. That's a free scan at LifeLock.com/scan. Promo code handle. Get on my knees until your friend James Brown. I can make your hands clap. And welcome back. Bill Handel here. This is Handel on the Law. Marginal legal advice. Hello, David.
Hey, Bill.
Yes, sir.
Got a question. Probate.
Yep.
Mom moved out to Georgia. And she was staying with a nephew out there. She took $100,000 cash, and she was living off my dad's retirement and that for medical and expenses. She passed away recently, and she leaves a home in California and a property as well as jewelry and a car. Sister wants to go ahead and take the car without anything, and nephew also wants to take over whatever's left in that Georgia bank account plus jewelry that my mom left over there. I was wondering, how do I proceed? There's two of us, and nephew who wants to take over some of my mom's possessions.
Nephew's out of the picture. Okay, nephew is gone, and if nephew goes in and grabs anything, that's theft. Straight out theft. So since mom died without a will, she died intestate, which means she died without a will. And so you have to open a probate. And an intestate probate, which means she died without a will probate. And it's the two siblings. It's you and your sister that control, and you can both open it up. One can open it up with the other's permission, and you simply go through the courts. And they'll freeze, and you can ask that all bank accounts be frozen. Now, unless there were bank accounts with someone else's name on it, either as a beneficiary or a co-signee, then whoever is the I don't even know about the beneficiary, but certainly a co-signee. You can just write a check to yourself because you've been given permission to sign on the account. My mother, who's 130 years old, has a checking account of which I am the co-signee. I can clean out the bank account if I want because I have permission. The problem is it has no money in it at all, and I put money in it to pay her bills every month, so that would be kind of stupid for me. But let's say she had $100,000 in the bank. I could write a check for $100,000 if I wanted to. So you have to you talk to a probate attorney. That's what you want to do at this point and freeze everything. You can go to the website and go to handleonthelaw.com. And
Bill, got a good question. Is that probate opened up since you passed in Georgia? Does it have to be?
Yeah, you probably have to do it. You have to do it in Georgia.
And then I read something about an ancillary probate that needs to be opened in California for the property. Is that right?
Well, if the property is in California, you've got kind of two issues. You got a bank account in Georgia, you got property here, and I don't know the answer to that. So you get to talk to a probate attorney on that one. I love, you know, giving you the kind of bad advice that I do, but hey, what the hell? Karen. Hello, Karen. Welcome to Handle on the Law.
Oh, thank you, Bill, for taking my call.
Yes.
So I live in a townhome HOA, and there's three buildings in our complex. The building that I'm in is units 1 through 6. And on the outside, at the very end of the building by the pool, there's a big electrical panel with electric, you know, the electric meters and the breakers and such.
And that goes to the entire building, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
So the HOA had repairs made to servicing three of our...
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of the Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play the Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18+.
Of the 6 units. And so my breaker, wires, and bus bar that service my unit only were all replaced, and they want to charge me $450 for that, claiming it's exclusive use common area. However, when I read the CC&Rs, it says the portions of the common area listed below are or shall be for the exclusive use of certain owners of units and shall be appurtenant to those units. So it doesn't sound to me like it's appurtenant.
Why not? Appurtenant means next to. Why wouldn't it's on you? You said it's on the wall. It's on, I assume the wall, one of the walls that are your unit, right? In other words, it's not down to the other side of the building.
It is.
Oh, it is. But that's an interesting one, appurtenant to me, means next to that facility, but it can be argued that it be the entire wall, but it's your unit that the electricity is that particular meter is going to. It controls the electricity coming out of your unit. I think they got you on that one.
You do.
I that's my opinion. But you know what? What you can do is complain. You go, no. Here are the CC&Rs, and this is what it says, and this is what I believe it means. And then they're going to have the attorney for the condo association, which every homeowner association has one or has access to one. And they're going to come back and say, Karen, you're responsible. Thank you very much. And then
Okay,
well, they did that already. Well, you can fight it, but for $450, I mean, we're not talking thousands and thousands.
Right.
I'd call them up and say, hey, can I give you $50 a month? And they may say yes or whatever you can afford. They should be able to say yes if you have any kind of a reasonable HOA. But I think they have you on that one. And what are you going to do? Argue with their lawyer? This is not outrageous. It is a legitimate legal opinion. It's not as if we're going to charge you for the entire building personally. Eugenio. Hi, Eugenio.
Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Okay, I have a problem with my father's 98th birthday.
Wow, 98. Your dad's going to be 98.
No, 90.
90, okay.
Okay, and we had a decided to do it in the hall.
I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time understanding you. You have to be a little bit more diction. You're not on a speakerphone, are you?
Yes.
Oh, come on. Don't do that to me.
One second.
Jeez. You know, I start hanging up on people. How do you do that? How do you talk to someone on a speakerphone?
Okay. Because I was waiting for you. Okay.
Well, I understand. No, I get it. But now what? All right. Talk.
Okay. The 90th. Okay.
Your dad's 90th birthday party. All right.
And we put $6,000 to do it in the hall. That was back in February.
Okay.
And it was for 200 people. Now, it was to be done on June of this year. Unfortunately, now there's not no more than 50 or 40 or 50 people are able to get into a hall.
Right.
So we have gone to the location and we have asked what can they do for us. They say, well, we can give you another date.
Yep.
So you can until we are able to do the 200 people. So what happens if they are not able to give the service for 200 people?
Well, that's, that's an issue. All you have is, at this point, you're out $6,000. All you have out is a deposit. They're not at fault because the law doesn't make them able to perform. It's not as if they're denying performance. It's you have a governmental directive that says you can't perform. And so I think, and this hasn't been litigated, but the defenses they have are extraordinary, and the best they can do under the circumstances, unless they want to give you your money back, but then they'd have to give everybody their money back and they have no income coming in, is give you a date. And that's what the airlines are doing. That's what the cruise lines are doing. And so we don't know when it's going to happen. But here you go. You have a double shot. It's either your dad's birthday or his wake. Whichever one happens first. This is Handle on the Law.
If you're injured and need a lawyer,
go to handleonthelaw.com.
KFI.
AM 640.
And we're back. Bill Handle here. This is Handle on the Law. Marginal legal advice. Mark. Where are you, Mark? Here you go. Hey, Mark. Welcome to Handle on the Law.
Thank you, Bill. Hey, with Proposition 19 coming up, and I'll just give you a brief thing about it. People that inherit homes will no longer be able to keep their Proposition 13 basis if it comes from, like, a direct parent or grandparent. If it passes, will that be retroactive?
Okay, hang on. First of all, I thought that proposition only has to do with commercial property, not with residential property.
No, that's 15.
I'm sorry. I get all the props mixed up because there's so many of them. All right, here's the question. Here's the answer. Depends how it's written. It's that simple. The legislature passes laws, and it could either be retroactive to the first of this year, or it starts January 1st of next year. Usually it's January 1st. But when it comes to these kinds of revenue bills, because the state wants money, retroactive happens all the time. There's talk of an increase of 1% on the income tax. And I think the bill's already been introduced in the state legislature. Guess what's part of the bill? Retroactive.
That's why I was concerned, because let's say you inherited the property years ago.
No. It would be this year. It would be.
So it would be whatever going forward?
Yeah, no, not necessarily. It would be, if it's retroactive to the first, you would have to inherit property after the first. They can't go back 4 years or 5 years. That's out of the question.
You would maintain your tax basis.
Up to the
even
first,
going forward,
up to the first of this year. It depends if it's retroactive. Depends on how it's written.
Right.
If it says retroactive,
I plan on getting out of California.
Going
to rent my house,
and that really doesn't happen. That, by the way, that really doesn't matter if you've already inherited.
That's what I mean. I've already inherited the property.
When did you inherit it?
About 2 years ago.
You're fine.
It won't be in the future. I won't get taxed at the higher rate. It'll be going forward. Okay.
From this year on, starting January 1st of this year, the new tax rate kicks in.
Okay, I understand. so I'd get reassessed.
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, if it's that part of the proposition, oh yeah, you get reassessed. They can reassess you every year.
Well,
they do
correct,
that. It's crazy. I mean, you know, that's California. It's completely insane. I don't even know how to start dealing with that. Irv, hello, Irv. Welcome to Handle on the Law.
Yes, good morning, Mr. Handle.
Yes,
I've
sir.
Got the following situation. I'm dealing with CalWORKS and CalFresh, a department or division or something or other, state of California. On behalf of my daughter, who has been flat on her back in bed for the last 9 months, she had a heart attack. She's on a breathing machine, and this is an important part here. She's not been off of a breathing machine since it happened. She's got a trachea tube installed in her throat. The people at CalFresh and CalWORKS are telling me unless they can have a telephone conversation with her, they're going to cut off the benefit.
No. I mean, they can say that. Someone is going through, in a wrong direction. When you say they, is this a person? Is it a group of people? Was it done via a letter? How did you hear?
Through a letter, through a person, and through the person's supervisor that I've talked with on the phone. They're all telling me unless they can have a telephone conversation with her, and obviously I have indicated to them on a number of occasions, she cannot get on the phone any more with you than the man in the moon right now. They says, well, too bad. If we can't have a verbal telephone conversation with her, we're going to cut her off.
Yeah, that's
and I've gone so far as to give them the name of the place where she's staying.
No, I understand.
Hospital.
They're not going to go out. They're not going to go out. You have to appeal the decision immediately. That's all. You have to appeal it.
It's going to happen next week on Tuesday or Wednesday.
That's,
at the end of the month.
Wow. Then you got a very interesting issue going on. Then the only thing I can think of is one of two things, actually. The two things I can think of, a court order stopping them, an injunction, preliminary injunction, or you immediately call the California version of Medicare.
Medi-Cal.
Medi-Cal. You call Medi-Cal immediately and transfer it over and they'll pay. She's entitled. She has now money. I mean, she's entitled to all the medical care in the world that's out there.
Well, she's getting the medical care. It's just the CalWORKS and CalFresh was, I believe, primarily for my grandson, who's now living with me. I have...
If your grandson's living with you, how would he get benefits... from her, I guess if that's a CalFresh, I don't understand that. I can see that under Medicare. I get that. I don't understand how it works with CalFresh and then transferring over. I guess the point is I have no idea. How's that for an answer? That's your typical marginal advice. Now, you lock your doors. Here's good advice. You lock your doors, you lock your windows, you lock your car. But in today's connected world, your personal information may actually be more exposed than we even think. Cyber criminals hack into public Wi-Fi connections that we are all using and use malware to steal off of your devices. Well, here's a way to stay a lot safer. And that's with Norton 360. Here's what you get with Norton 360. Real-time protection against existing and emerging threats that put your personal information at risk. Secure backup for PCs to help keep your files and documents protected. A password manager that creates, secures your passwords, credit card info, all of that. Now, no one can prevent cybercrime, but Norton 360, that's a powerful protection for your cyber safety. Get up to 50% off your first year with an annual subscription at Norton.com/handle. Norton.com/handle. 50% off. Norton.com/handle. This is Handle on the Law. We continue on with Legal Show right up until 11 o'clock. 800-520-1534 is the number here. And let's get right to it. This is Handle on the Law, marginal legal advice, where I tell you, you have absolutely no case. Another case out of Florida I want to share you. Why is it always Florida? Okay, here's a fifth grade student who goes to class because, and this is school. It's now in class learning down there. And he wears his mask, and it's a Hooters mask. His Hooters face mask. And the teacher says, no, this violates the student code of conduct. We can't have Hooters masks going on. The principal earlier had told him it was inappropriate and said, because it expresses a woman's body. You understand? Hooters. Breasts. Knockers. Winnebagos. All right? Come on. Isn't that clear? And the boy's father, of course, immediately disagreed. He said, no. My son is allowed to wear a Hooters mask. And why? He actually calls the school's principals and said, well, the principal told me, or the teacher told me, it was offensive. I told him, and here's the reason why his son should be able to wear a Hooters mask. We go there as a family. We eat their wings. We watch sports. We have chocolate cake. We go there all the time, so therefore, it's not an offensive mask. And I'm trying to figure out the logic here, right? So let's say the family goes to a brothel because they enjoy going there for the social aspects, the food. They enjoy the camaraderie. And therefore, it's fine for my son to wear a mask that advertises the brothel. That's exactly the same. That's the same thinking. Literally, you go through it, and it's the same logic. So the kid said, you're told you got to take off that gym class. And, father's complaining, threatening lawsuits, of course. Hey, you know what? At what point do parents these days not threaten lawsuits? When I was a kid and I was in junior high school, middle school, man, corporal punishment. They'd SWAT you if you misbehaved, if you were out of order. And one of the PE teachers was the SWATter of the school. Dwayne Putnam, who was an all-pro tackle for the Los Angeles Rams for 11 years. That was who did the swatting. Mr. Putnam. About 6'6", 270 pounds, not an ounce of fat on him. And man, I still get nightmares. Still. I will wake up in a cold sweat, thinking what Mr. Putnam would tell me whenever I screwed up. Handle, assume the position. Oh. And this guy's complaining about not his son not being able to wear a Hooters mask to class. Fifth grade. Yeah, go figure. Okay. Definitely phone calls. Elise, where's Elise? Here she is. Hello, Elise.
Hi, Bill.
Welcome. Yes.
Hi, Bill. Thank you.
Sure.
When my husband and I bought our home 2 years ago, we took over a lease for solar panels on the roof from the previous owners. So that same month, we called the company, the solar company, to set up automatic payments to withdraw monthly from our checking account. So since then, we've received two different types of communication from this company, both by letter. One saying that we are preparing to withdraw money from your checking account ending in 1234. And the other type of statement was a account summary that reflects a bill paid the previous month, current balance, and a current balance of $0. So we never really gave this company much thought. Everything was rolling well. So this went on for 2 years. And then earlier this month, we received a letter from the company saying our account is 850 days past due and we have a balance of about $5,800. So we go back and look through our bank records and we see no withdrawal ever from this company. But this was the first communication that we had received from them regarding any missing payments. So here we are with this $5,800 bill.
Over how many months did they say?
Over 850 days. So oh, about 200 or yeah. So
800 to 3 years. Okay. Interesting. All right. Yeah. What kind of paperwork do you have?
We have 2 years of statements showing you owe nothing, everything's okay. Current, and we show paperwork saying we're preparing to withdraw your next monthly statement.
Okay, well, first of all, of course, you stop any automatic payment instantly, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so they say you owe $5,800. You say there, here it is, all the paperwork shows a zero balance.
Yep.
And your question is?
So we replied via email with PDF copies of all the statements that we've received over the last 2 years. They respond by saying all of those statements were error and you've never paid anything. So we've updated your account. Now you owe $5,800.
Okay. And your question is?
So our question is,
if you owe it, you owe it. I mean, they're allowed to make mistakes. It's not a question of misrepresentation. When you assumed the lease, how long had that solar system been in place?
A few years. Right. I don't know how many, but several years.
Yeah. It's usually their 20-year leases.
Yeah.
Or 25-year leases. So they just screwed up and made a mistake. I mean, you owe the money. Now the question is paying it back. You go, hey, I don't have $5,800. And now you're asking for it in one fell swoop. And I relied on the zero balance statements that you sent me. And that is a good reliance. Now, you still owe the money because they made a mistake. But asking it for all in one fell swoop, you can argue there's a hardship there. So you call them up and you cut a deal and I just start negotiating, saying, hey, tell you what, I don't have all the money, but it's your screw up. Tell you what, let's go 50 cents on the dollar. I can pay you that right now. Now you're in straight negotiation. Yeah, that's what I would do. And people negotiate, by the way. And you throw it back in their faces. Hey, you know, what part of I owe no money for 3 years that you've sent me on a monthly basis are we having a hard time understanding here?
Yep. Okay. So settlement is the
settlement
best way.
Is that, and you just straight out settle with these folks. This is Handle on the Law.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
If you're injured and need a lawyer, go to HandleOnTheLaw.com.
KFI. AM 640. More stimulating talk.
And good morning. Bill Handle here. It is a Saturday morning. 800-520-1534 is the number. Welcome back. Handle on the Law, marginal legal advice. Rosa. Hello, Rosa. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Hello, sir.
Hi. Get off the speakerphone.
Yeah, I want to talk about because...
All right. Hang on. Are you on a... Rosa. Are you on a speakerphone, Rosa?
No.
No? It's just a bad connection. All right. What do you want to talk about?
I reported to the police, but the detective said it's confidential to
Rosa.
The police
Rosa, okay, hold on, Rosa. We're stuck again. I reported to the police. What did you report to the police?
Yeah, the detective said it's confidential to
what did
have
you,
the video
okay,
camera.
What,
it happened
what,
in the
what,
hospital,
what
by the way.
You, what did you report to the police, Rosa?
That I was, you know, raped, but...
Oh, you were raped.
Daughter,
okay.
My daughter was raped. She was
okay.
unconscious.
Okay,
and
hang
she
on.
She didn't know who raped her.
You were both raped, you and your daughter?
No, my daughter. My daughter.
All right, she was raped. Where was she raped?
Mission Community Hospital.
All right, and how do you know she was raped?
She told me she was raped, but at that time, she was unconscious, and the thing is...
How did she know she was raped if she was unconscious?
Well, she was virgin, but when I look at her vagina, she was already not virgin. It has
okay,
a hole
and did
in
you,
there.
And did you report that to the medical staff there?
Yes, sir, but they did not do anything to
all
help
right.
her because it's a mental.
Okay, did you then report it to the police?
Yes, sir.
And did they come out and do a rape kit?
No, they gave a case number with the detective.
Okay, did they come out and do an examination?
Yeah, no, but it was 5 months ago because...
You reported it wait a minute. You reported it 5 months later?
Yes, sir, because at that time, the staff did not do anything to help her.
I understand. When did you find out that this rape occurred?
It's right on the month of February to March.
All right. You know what, Rosa, you're making very little sense, and the line is terrible, and, I feel terrible, and it does happen, but, you can't report 5 months later, and it just doesn't work that way. Oh, that's a tough one. That really does. Matt! Hi, Matt! There we go. There you go. All right, Matt, you're up. Go ahead.
Oh, look!
Matt? Hello, Matt. Are you there, Matt? Or am I talking to the wall?
Good morning, Bill. How are you doing this morning?
Yes, sir. Okay, we got you now.
Okay. I know you're just a facts kind of guy. So
facts kind of guy. Thank you.
Okay. So we got a property in L.A. County, and it's surrounded. It's a business, and it's surrounded by fence all the way around it. Okay. So recently we started getting broken into. So the first time we have cameras, the first time we called out to call the cops, say, hey, look, here we got these guys breaking in. And the guy looks at the video and says, yeah, you know what? These guys are all in hoodies and they're on bicycles. There's really not much for us to go on. You're out of luck. Turn it in the insurance. So time goes on. It happens again and again. My question is, I think if I stay there like all night one night, I think I can get these guys. But what happens in the event that they say, okay, you know what? I'm just going to jump back over the fence. There's nothing you can do to stop me. Goodbye. Have a good night. So my question is, what can I legally do to hold these guys till the cops come?
You can invoke a citizen's arrest, and you can detain them. Now, the problem is how you detain them is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Can you pull a gun on them? I don't think so. I don't believe you can.
What's to stop them saying, you know what, Matt, see you later.
Nothing.
Goodbye.
Nothing other than you have their picture. You certainly... You bring out your cell phone and you snap their picture, and now the police have something to go on. How many guys are we talking about here, Matt?
I think we caught two.
All right, at the same time. How many is we?
Okay,
all right. When we're talking about how many people are there confronting these two guys?
It would be just me, probably.
How do you restrain two guys?
I could use a 9mm or something like that.
That's the whole problem. Can you pull a gun on them? And I don't know. I don't think so.
If they're in my property, if they're in my property.
It doesn't matter. It's not the same. It's not the same. So that's a question for a criminal attorney. And honestly, I don't think you can pull a gun on someone. I really don't. Baseball bat? No, I don't think so. How about just a killer dog? Maybe a dog that eats people. There are breeds, and they're known as people-eating dogs. And they do a very good job of chomping on people's legs for lunch. Maybe that's the answer. That is a question for a criminal law attorney, for sure. Or your insurance company, because you're the one that's going to get sued by whoever's breaking in. This is Handle on the Law. Oh, hold on a minute. Here we go. I want to tell you about Norton. You lock your doors. You lock your windows. But in today's connected world, it is, well, it's tough because your information is out there much more exposed than we think. Cyber criminals hack into public Wi-Fi connections, use malware to steal information off of your devices. So here is a way to stay far safer, and that's with Norton 360. You'll get real-time protection against existing and emerging threats that could put your personal information at risk, including device security, a VPN for online privacy, a password manager that secures and creates passwords, credit card info, etc., a secure cloud backup for PCs that protect files. There's a lot of protection there. No one can prevent all cybercrime, but Norton 360, that's a powerful ally for your cyber safety. Get up to 50% off your first year with an annual subscription at norton.com/handle. That's norton.com/handle. We are not hello, Handle here on a Saturday morning. Back we go. More Handle on the Law. Rob, hello, Rob. You're up. Welcome to Handle on the Law.
Good morning, Bill.
Yes.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a quick question for you. I have two cousins that has a simple promissory note for $100K. So one cousin got a stroke and is disabled. The note was secured by a commercial property and was recorded in LA County. Now, our question is, how can my first cousin add his wife to the note because the debtor is refinancing the property and it's in escrow right now?
Well, he can't. First of all, she has to go on to the note and accept responsibility. And once if she's willing to do that, of course you let her go on to the note because that's just one more person you get to go after. But if she doesn't want to go on the note and the note is already there, especially if the property's in escrow, why do you want to do it right now with a property in escrow? I don't quite understand.
Because the cousin that got a stroke is just lately. The note has been since 2018. Now, the debtor is refinancing the loan.
Yeah, I understand. So the debtor refinances the loan. You get your whatever money. Or have you been paid on the note? Are you getting paid?
There's a payment, but it's not complete.
All right. Well, you can foreclose for lack of payment. You know, you could just get the property back, you're not going to get the property back. You're going to foreclose. It'll be sold, and you'll get the money you want. So I don't quite understand where you're going with this.
Okay, here's the thing. The note is under my two cousins' name.
Yeah. Okay. And you want to add one more person to the note. Not if they don't want to. Doesn't matter if someone's disabled or not. Doesn't matter at all. You can ask. You can say, hey, would you put your wife's name on the note? And if he says no, it's no. And if she says no, it's up to her. I mean, you can't just say, I want someone's name on a note. It doesn't work that way. And now, if you can't refinance it because her name is not on the note, and the refi company won't accept it, then you don't have a refi. Then you're back to you have to make the payments, and if you don't, I've got foreclosure. Jennifer, hi Jennifer.
Good morning, Bill.
Yes, ma'am.
So here's the circumstance. A friend of mine took her car to the Nissan dealership where she purchased it for an oil change. Not sure how this happened, but somehow her one of her windows was broken. I think the mechanic admitted to it, but I'm sure that's not in writing.
Sure.
She wants to sue them. The issues are, is the LLC is registered in Delaware, and they have what is called agents of service in Sacramento.
That's who you serve.
She's here, and that's so she would have to go up to Sacramento.
No,
right?
she can serve him by mail. Actually, if he accepted, he should accept it. The agent for service of process usually accepts it by mail. But I'm a little confused here. The dealership is in Georgia?
No. The dealership is here in Southern California.
Then why don't you just sue the dealership? Just walk in the door and serve the manager.
Can you do that?
Of course.
I mean, I know you. Yeah.
Of course you can.
I didn't know.
Yeah. Where's the manager? And manager goes, yes, can I help you? You go, here, you've been served.
Okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know if he would default back and say, hey, this is on Nissan. It's not on the dealer.
He can do whatever he wants. Yeah, okay. He can cross complain against anybody he wants. That's not your problem. Okay. That's his problem. Hey. The window is broken in your shop. You're responsible. Thank you very much. Any other questions? No. It's kind of hard. Everybody tries to get away from it, and says, oh, it's not my fault. It's someone else's fault. Okay. Then you figure it out later on between the two of you. Mike, do I have that right? Yeah. Mike, welcome to Handle on the Law.
Yes, hi. I'm calling for my husband, Mike. Okay, so here's what happened. My husband went to the urologist, his doctor, and they performed a test on him, and they used a scope to check his bladder.
Those aren't fun. Those are not fun at all.
Oh, what happened after this is even worse. Okay, so here we go. So at the end of the appointment, the doctor said, hey, listen, I phoned in a prescription to the pharmacy just in case. He phoned in Cipro. It's an antibiotic.
Yep.
One to take that night that he had the procedure, and one the next evening. So late Saturday night, my husband woke up with a terrible headache and body ache. And so the next morning, on Sunday morning, I called the doctor on call, and he phoned the pharmacy and prescribed two new prescriptions. On Sunday, all day, my husband was sick and slept all day. So Monday, I called the original doctor, the doctor with the scope, and I told him what had happened. And he told me to immediately take my husband to the emergency room, have him admitted, start IVs and cultures, which I did. That was Monday. Tuesday, the doctor came to check in on my husband, told him to be patient. It's going to take some time to get the cultures back. And infectious disease doctors came. And after 4 days, they decided that my husband has E. coli.
He was in the hospital for 4 days?
Correct.
Correct. Okay.
So now, the infectious disease doctors came and told him, you know, you've got E. coli. They had a PICC line put in his arm to his chest to administer antibiotics at home. They wanted him to get out of the hospital now that they know the culture says it's E. coli. So then for 28 days, he had to have antibiotics administered through that PICC line at home. They sent nurses the first couple of days, but the copay on a nurse visit is $30 a day. So they taught me to do it. So I took care of them for the remaining of the 28 days. Anyhow, here we go. Our individual deductible on our insurance plan is $6,500 for the year. And I imagine the 4 days in the hospital with all of that adding up, we're gonna be above that. So what I held the doctor responsible.
Right. Now it's a question of proving it. That's all. Based on what you say, that's true. And the doctors treating it doesn't necessarily mean that they malpracticed. You're stuck between a rock and a hard place on this one for a couple of reasons. Number one, getting a lawyer to even get involved, even though from what you say, it sounds straight out malpractice. But even assuming that you're able to go past that hurdle. Yep, it's malpractice. What is it worth? 28 days in the hospital.
No. 4 days.
Four
in
days.
Hospital.
Yeah.
4 days.
The PIC line at home, that happens all the time. I got a staph infection in my spine. I've never experienced pain like that in my life. I had a cyst that went south right next to my spine, and I was in the hospital for a week. And it was just horrible. And the PIC line was also at home, and that went for 30 days. For those people who don't know what a PIC line is, it goes into a vein in your arm and then goes all the way up. And that's where the antibiotic is given, is inside your body or in your heart or whatever. So so at home, the PIC line is a normal occurrence. And it's just, you prove where to get the E. coli. That's the problem. Did he get it at the hospital? Did he get it from the surgical instrument? Did he eat at Chipotle and have a burrito? By the way, that's a joke. That's a bad Chipotle joke because they have so much trouble with E. coli. And so therefore, before you guys sue me, I just want you to know that's parody. That's just me being funny. I have to be very careful about that because it's very difficult when you accuse a national chain of serving crap burritos. So it's worth calling a medical malpractice attorney, but it would be much better legally if he were really screwed up. 4 days in the hospital. I mean, it's a drag. It's horrible. Now, the possibility of suing in small claims court, but then again, proving it, because what are you going to do? Get a doctor to say that's what happened, that your husband got the E. coli infection from something that happened in the hospital, then the hospital says, no, we don't think so. We had no other complaint. We use that tool. We sanitize it. And then you have to prove that that's not the case because it's a presumption of proof is on you. I think you're just stuck between a rock and a hard place, and yours is a perfect argument why we need a national health plan because you're stuck. So,
do you think it's worth investigating through a lawyer for malpractice?
Well, you call a medical malpractice attorney.
You have one?
Just go to handleonthelaw.com. And we have them, and they're there for med mal, personal injury. We do have lawyers that do that. But do not be surprised if the lawyer doesn't get involved, because here's what happens. The lawyer is going to pull all of the surgical notes, all of the entire record of your husband in the hospital, including the procedures, then has to send it to a doctor and pay for it.
Right.
And those guys charge
a mediation or something.
No, not necessarily. And then they charge a couple of thousand dollars, and the lawyer's dishing out this money. And then you find, really, there isn't much there. But I would call. It's definitely worth calling. Go to the website. Go to handleonthelaw.com and call one of our MedMal attorneys and just see if there's anything there. This is Handle on the Law.
If you're injured and need a lawyer,
go to handleonthelaw.com.
KFI.
AM 640.
More stimulating talk.
KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Welcome back to Handle on the Law. Hello, Marina. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Bill. I'm calling. I called before about 18 months ago, but I live in a condo that had a sinkhole 100 feet long and 20 feet deep.
Yeah, I think I remember that. Yes.
Okay. Well, so far they have still done nothing to help.
Now, the condo, wait a second. Now, the property is, the sinkhole is on the property, not on the public street, correct?
No. It's on the property. It's by Imperial Highway, which is, very busy.
Yeah, I know that. But where is the sinkhole physically, on the property or on a public street? There'd only be one of the two.
On the property.
Okay, it's on the property. Okay, now, and the association won't do anything about it.
They've said they've tried the city, the county, and the state.
All right, now your question is, I think we're at the same place we were 18 months ago. And what's your question?
People are selling. They're getting out of here. Not a lot, but some are. I don't think they leave it up to the buyer, and they tell the buyer, okay, yeah, they're doing something about it, and it will be fixed. So then they they believe it. I am 85 years of age, and I've lived here and bought it and paid for it, and I'm really sort of relying on that for my old age. I have no family in this country and so forth, and I'm just wondering if it would be better for me to just sell and get out of here.
Yes. If you can get a decent price, yes, because getting that sinkhole fixed is very difficult. The city is going to say, hey, that's your problem. You know, whatever issue there is in terms of the water underneath it. Because I think that whatever pipelines, the city is only responsible to the edge of your property and then the HOA. So, yeah. If they can't help, I'm surprised the HOA hasn't come up with the amount of money fixing it and then assessing everybody. Do you have any idea how much it's going to?
That's what I'm afraid of.
Oh, that's going to happen. That's what's going to happen.
It's going to be millions.
It could be. And if that's the case, your property is probably a negative. It's probably worth nothing.
And I think I better get out of here.
I would, but that's not legal advice. So don't rely on me. That is a decision you make financially. I just give you marginal legal advice. If I gave you financial advice, it would also be marginal, and you can't pay attention to that. This is Handle on the Law. And good morning. Bill Handel here on a Saturday morning. 800-520-1534. We've done a pretty good job of the lines being full all morning long. 800-520-1534. We have a couple of lines open. We still have plenty of lines that are on hold, which is good stuff. Also, one more hour to go, incidentally. And Leo Laporte shows up, as usual, I'll stay on the phone at the end of the show. And if you happen to be on hold, just hang loose. I'll answer all your phone calls off the air. So one more hour. Let's do it, guys. This is Handle on the Law, marginal legal advice, where I tell you, you have absolutely no case. Another story out of Florida. God, don't you love Florida? It's all the crackpots. And the crazy stories come out of Florida. All right, so this is a guy at a McDonald's, and he calls 911. And why does he call 911? Because he wants a ride home. That's his reason. He wants a ride home and doesn't have the money for a taxi. Not that anybody takes taxis or Lyft or whatever. And for some reason decides not to go to the bus. No idea. The story doesn't tell us what he is about. So Jermaine Williams, he's 46 years old. He calls 911. Now, asking for a ride home, the 911 people, they're not even going to call the police. They're not even going to transfer the phone, the dispatcher, to the police. And he knows that. So how do you get the cops to show up? Well, you say there's a dead body at the McDonald's. That's going to get the cops' attention. I promise you. There's a dead body in here. So they show up, they respond, and there he is sitting at the curb. And they said, where's the body? And he said, there really isn't one. I just need a ride home. And they discovered that he had made numerous calls earlier that night asking for a ride. And the dispatcher said, listen, if you need medical help, the cops will show up and take you to get assistance. And he goes, no, I just want to ride home. That's it. And he was charged with misuse of 911 and booked into jail. And the reason that, not only is it a fun story, this is the first time I have heard of a misuse of 911 call being charged. And they just don't charge 911 calls. Incidentally, if you call 911, let's say there's a horrible accident in front of you, or you're with someone in a restaurant or a loved one and has a heart attack or a stroke and falls down, call 911 and see how long you're on hold. Because some jerk is calling 911 and asking for a cornbread recipe or what the weather is.
and those people should get nailed. That should be a felony to call 911. But it never is. Except I guess you can't call, say there's a dead body, and then you find and the police show up. Nah, it's only to get a ride home. Oh, yes. All right. Phone calls. Let's start with Mark. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Bill. Good morning.
Yes.
All right. So, purchased a travel trailer in 2018, and the first trip we took it on, we noticed that on the way back that it was leaking water. So, took it back to the dealership. They couldn't find any problems with it. Next trip, we take it out. This one was a longer trip out to Arizona, trying to do some dry camping, fill the tanks once again, and it ended up leaking out. So, took it back to the dealership. They took the bottom of the trailer apart, and basically the technician found that none of the PVC pipes were glued together. So the next few trips after that were hooked up to city services, so really didn't notice any problems with it, and just took it back out again. And once again, our freshwater tanks were emptying out. So my question is, are there limit laws that are attached to travel trailers?
Yeah, they're not vehicles. I don't think trailers are considered vehicles. I'm not.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Specifically, specific about that. But let me give you a suggestion, okay? Let me think. I'm thinking what lawyers do I know would go? Where do I go with this? Oh, I know. How about going and doing a Google search and asking the question, are travel trailers considered vehicles? That's what I would do. Man, do I give advice, huh? Damn right. JT. Hey, JT. Welcome.
Hey, Bill. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great. Couldn't be better. What can I do for you?
I love you, love you, love you.
Of course you do, yes.
Okay, humor.
JT, thank you. Got it. You got the gig already. You're on the air. JT, hang on a minute. You're not on a speakerphone, are you?
I just took it off.
Oh, good. Boy, you would think. When I die, I swear when I die, on my tombstone, it's going to read, "You're not on a speakerphone, are you?" That's what's going to be on. That is going to be my epitaph. All right, go for it. What can I do for you?
Would keep me living. We'll live, love, and laugh. I love your laughter and your humor. I can't live without it. Saturday.
Yeah, great.
Okay, so Bill, I have a civil case. It's a civil harassment. I had gone to court on last week, and the judge denied everything. And there was some costs incurred regarding an attorney.
Where you hired? Wait a second. You hired an attorney to help you?
Yes.
Okay.
Because it was so outrageous.
All right. Fair enough.
Hired an attorney and included in my documents the proof of service and all a response. I indicated that I wanted the person to pay for the attorney fees, et cetera, et cetera. So thank goodness I was awarded, or the case was denied, but the judge didn't mention the attorney. And there may have been one little item on the document that I didn't check. I did indicate how much I had paid the attorney and what I wanted to be reimbursed
for. How much did you pay the attorney? How much did you pay?
It was a $3,000.
Okay, that's a chunk.
Retainer.
All right, that's a hit. Fair enough.
Yeah. It's a $3 retainer, and then if there's some additional, it's $300 an hour.
All right, so
was just trying to get in the...
Right, no, I understand. You want to try to get your money back legitimately. I understand that. Now, you had asked for attorney's fees, and they didn't give it to you. And is it because the lawyer didn't fill out the paperwork correctly?
When I filled out the paperwork indicating in my response, I indicated that I wanted to be reimbursed.
Okay,
for it,
but you didn't. Okay, wanting. Okay, but you know, there's language. What am I missing here?
Doc, I just missed. I didn't check one little.
No, I understand. I understand. You did not specifically request attorney's fees pursuant to those documents. So, okay, you screwed the pooch on that one. All right. So, right. You want to know now? Can you go to small claims court? I think so. Especially when you argue that, except the argument's going to be on the other side, Your Honor. He could have asked for attorney's fees and he didn't.
Okay,
but try. Call the clerk of the court. Maybe you can open it up again for the attorney's fees part. That's one possibility, and the other possibility is suing in small claims court and saying, I want my attorney's fees back, because that has nothing to do with asking the court to give it to you. That's a separate issue completely. So I would try both of those, starting with, I take it to a small claims court and say, here's what I had to do, was denied, it's frivolous. Those are the arguments I would use. This is Handle on the Law.
If you're injured and need a lawyer,
go to handleonthelaw.com.
KFI. AM 640.
Good morning. Bill Handle here on a Saturday morning, last hour of the show. 800-520-1534. Charles, good to you. I was about to say good morning, but I don't want to say good morning, so just welcome to Handle on the Law. What can I do for you?
Good morning, Bill.
Yes, sir.
As a patient, I receive a prescription that states as needed.
Wow.
Could you define what as needed means?
Yeah, that's actually an excellent question. I never even thought about it. Well, it doesn't say just as needed. It says take one or two per day, or one in the morning, one at night, and then as needed. Do I have that right, or is it just as needed?
As needed, period.
That's it. As needed? Wow.
Yes, sir.
On the surface, clearly it's as needed whenever you think you need it. The problem is you're not a doctor. You're not a medical doctor, and usually that happens not with antibiotics. It usually happens with pain medication or a sleep aid. What kind of medication, Bill?
It's pain medication.
Okay.
Assume that it said, and it does, as needed.
Yeah.
So if I start having this terrible pain, I take the pills as needed.
Right.
And Let me shift it. What if the as needed is for an injection for pain? Now I call the doctor and I said, I'm in pain and I need the shot as needed. And they make an appointment for me for a month later.
Yeah, all right.
How in the world is that as needed?
Yeah, well, that is a different issue. The part that you got two issues there. Number one, you're in a lot of pain. You don't have medication, and they give you a month later an appointment. You're at the wrong doctor. I mean, definitely you're bailing out of that doctor. That's crazy making.
Isn't that insane?
Yes, it's completely insane.
I mean, because you need the help when you need it.
I understand, but I'm more interested in the other issue. That one is just straight out time to get another doctor. That's just crazy. And that's malpractice. That's my definition, although not that you're going to get any money. But the as needed is you making a medical determination as to how much you need. And if you're in pain and you start sucking up that pain medication, and you're right, I never thought of that. As needed, but no more than four in a day. That's usually the language you see. If you have medication that just says as needed, something's wrong with the pharmacy, and nothing about take one or two per day every 6 hours just as needed. That's malpractice on the part of the pharmacy, too. I'm sorry?
I would be, Bill, I'm more interested in going back to the point of when it says I need this injection as needed. And then I called.
Wait a minute. Where? Hold on. Wait. Where does what paper do you have that says an injection as needed?
Via the health system's email.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
They all
and
have
they,
their personal
and
emails.
And it says just go in as needed.
I don't get
that.
Take as needed.
Okay.
Now
take. What do you mean? Hold on. Take as needed versus coming in for an injection as needed. There's two different things there.
Yeah, all they said was as needed.
Okay, then, and it's an injection as needed. Okay, you make an appointment to go see the doctor. I was going to go in a great direction, and you completely blew it for me. Okay, that becomes easy. All right, as needed. I'm in a lot of pain, doc. I'll see you in a month. I'll see a new doctor. Nice talking to you. This is, tell you about identity theft. I'd rather do that real quickly. It has become a big time crime, even bigger than before, if you can imagine that. Criminal gangs operate units dedicated just to that. And let me tell you how vulnerable you are. I mean, it's crazy. Every day we put our information at risk out there on the internet, and you can miss certain identity threats, lots of them, by just monitoring your credit. So let me suggest checking in with LifeLock. I've been a customer for years, and what LifeLock detects is a wide range of identity threats. And here's one you may have not thought about, like your Social Security number for sale on the dark web. It's the hidden part of the internet where the bad guys buy and sell your information. And what LifeLock does, if they detect your information being used, they send you an alert. You deal with it right there. Now, no one can prevent all ID theft or monitor every transaction in every business, but LifeLock, that's real protection. They're offering a free dark web scan. You go to LifeLock.com/scan. Use a promo code handle. LifeLock.com/scan, promo code handle. You can also save up to 25% off your first year. Just use the promo code handle. This is Handle on the Law. Bill Handel here. Saturday morning, last half hour to go. But as I end the show, stay on the phone. If you're on hold as I end the show, I'll answer the questions off the air. And I'll go through all of them so you don't have to worry. Welcome back. Handle on the Law. Marginal legal advice. John. Hey, John, you're up. Welcome to Handle on the Law.
Hey, Bill. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I had walked away and defaulted on a lot of my debt back in 2011, didn't really make any payments. And then I got a letter today or yesterday regarding a civil suit against me. And when I went to look up the case, it looks like one of the collection agencies had sued me. And it looks like they got a judgment against me back in 2012.
They got a default judgment against you in 2012?
Yeah.
All right.
And they attempted to garnish my wages twice, but had no luck. But in looking at the case, it looks like it said there was a status of default judgment pursuant to that was vacated, along with the service completion was vacated. And then the very last thing said that there was a final writ of execution back in 2017. And so I'm wondering what I should do, because the notice I got yesterday was regarding memorandum of costs after the judgment. And then the boss has checked his accrued interest remaining due.
All right. So how much? Amount. Okay, hold on. Do you have the amount of the judgment itself in front of you? Do you know how much you owe them?
Yeah, the original judgment was $5,000, and then the final writ of execution showed added interest, so a total of $7,000 as of 2017. The notice I got today regarding the interest is $4,000.
Okay, so at this point, it's $11,000. And it was, I'm a little confused about how your summonses were vacated, and I don't quite understand it. Did you make any legal moves at all to have them vacated?
I had no idea the case was, there was a case against me until I looked it up last night.
Whoa. All right. There's a few issues there. Someone lied and said that you were served.
Because it said that the default... It says service was sent to my house, and then there was a dismissal filed, a declaration of
interest, a declaration of affidavit.
All right, wait a minute. Wait a second. A default, a notice of default? Oh, notice of default is against you. But they still have to serve you. So someone lied about serving you. In the court record, there is a human being in there that attested that he or she handed you the summons.
Yeah, it looks like in October of 2012, a copy of the judgment was mailed to the plaintiff.
That doesn't matter. That's the judgment. Wait a minute. We're going back before that. That's the judgment. You don't have to be handed the judgment. That you can be mailed, and they have to mail it to you. I'm talking about the original case. Now,
it says proof of service unserved as to the defendant, which is me.
And they still got a default judgment, and it shows it was unserved.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Served? On the record?
Vacate hearing was scheduled. Yeah, vacate hearing was scheduled. And
all right.
Then,
then you get them. Then it's a motion to quash the whole thing and hopefully ask for attorney's fees. You got to go in to get rid of it. And you could try to do it yourself based on no service. And you go, here it is, a notice of no service. And you went forward. I was never served. So how do I lose a judgment which I'm never served? Because that's the law. I have to be handed service. Now, there are some exceptions. They don't know where you are. You've disappeared. They serve you in a newspaper of general circulation where they publish your name. Hey, you've been sued. But, man, if you're around and it's easy to find you and you haven't moved and you haven't bounced from place to place and you go, hey, here, I've been here the whole time and that's easy, then I think you can get rid of the whole thing. And now you get to figure out whether you want to do it yourself or you want to hire a lawyer and also find out, and I don't know the answer to this, you can find out with any civil attorney, do attorney's fees fall into place here? If it was a fraudulent lawsuit, and it looks either that or it fell through the cracks. I have no idea how they could even ask for a judgment without a legitimate service. And legitimate service is, here you go. Hey, you've been served. You've seen that a million times in the movies. Where someone says, hey, you've been served. And they usually dress up as a pizza guy or whatever. Sometimes you have porno films that do, you know, they combine the pizza guy delivering with, hey, you've been served. In many different ways, I might add. Tom! Hello, Tom!
Hello?
Yes, sir. What can I do for you?
I have a question about a program on the net. Can I sue them for damages?
Yeah, well, tell me what it is and what kind of damages.
It's this voice chat program. I haven't been using it for like 12 years.
Okay, voice chat. So what damages have you had that you haven't used a program?
I think that they're users that I don't talk to. I don't even have this program installed, and I'm just still putting up with this program.
Okay, I don't understand what that means. You are part of this. You signed up. I mean, I'm assuming voice chat.
I signed up for this, like, probably back in like 2005 when I moved to Oceanside.
And do they
using it at like 2008?
And do they charge you? Did you un-app it? I'm assuming it's an app of some kind. Did you stop paying?
Well, I paid for it at one time, but I don't pay for it. I don't use it at all.
Okay.
Like,
all right. So, So you don't use it. You don't care. What are your damages?
Well, I'm just putting up with this.
Okay. How about uninstalling it?
I don't have it installed at all.
Okay. Well, if it's not installed and it's getting to you, I'm assuming that there's a way to get out of it. And what lawyer is going to represent you? Well, let's look at the damages. I don't use it. It's there. I don't pay attention to it. But I want damages that it's there on my computer. Why don't you just ignore it?
Okay, so no lawyer would really pay attention?
A lawyer who wants entertainment value would clearly do this, yes. A lawyer who's really, really depressed and you walk in the door.
because you are like beyond stupid on that one. It astounds me. I wish I kept him on hold for an hour and a half on that. Hello, Billy. Billy,
hey,
you're up.
How are
yes.
You?
What can I do for you?
Hey, so I've got an RV that's been in the shop since November of last year for a leaky window. And they've attempted to replace the window. We're going on three times now. And first time they put a Band-Aid on the window and didn't replace it upon the manufacturer's orders. Second time they replaced it, but the window was defaultive and it leaked. And so they just put a new window in it again, and it's still leaking. And I went to go pick it up today, and the camper had a significant amount of water in it, and there's black mold growing in it.
Okay, so there's some damage. Okay, fair enough. Yep. You're obviously not going to deal with that repair shop anymore. So you take it to another repair shop. What's it going to do? What's it going to cost you to bring it up to snuff?
Well, I'm not really sure.
Well, you got to find out.
So
you got to find out because you're going to sue.
So we're dealing with the manufacturer.
Okay.
Back and forth, so.
I wouldn't even deal with a manufacturer. What I would do is just sue the shop because I don't know if the manufacturer is going to even bother saying here's the shop and why would you keep it there a year? I don't understand, but so much for that. So you put in a claim. I guess there's insurance on it. Do you have an insurance policy, or is it under warranty?
I do.
All right. Then you
It's out of warranty now, but I do have insurance, yes.
Well, okay. No. If it's out of warranty, that's what I meant. Some kind of a warranty, an extended warranty. All right. So that's over. The manufacturer, I wouldn't go after because now you're talking about defective design and it's crazy making. You go after the shop. Especially for the mold, especially for the water damage, especially for all of that. But you have to find out how much it costs to fix it because you're going to sue the guy.
Right.
And you can't just say there's mold, gee, there's water damage. And the first thing the judge is going to ask, okay, how much? Well, I don't know. So what do you ask for? I mean, when you go into court, you're asking for specific damages. You got to tell them what you want. And you can't say, well, I want the repair guy to go to jail for 5 years. That's not going to fly. So you need actual damages. Go to a shop. Get a bid. I wouldn't even give those guys a chance to cure because it's beyond that. Because they've tried three times and they've made it far worse than it was. So off you go to another shop. Get a bid. Then sue them. Just sue them for it. And hopefully it's under $10,000. Because then you're in small claims court. If it's over $10,000, you have a couple of choices. Either you waive anything above $10,000, so let's say it costs $12,000. Yeah, then it's worth it to say, okay, I'll take a $2,000 loss. Or if it's substantially above that, you get a lawyer. You get to get a lawyer, don't you? This is Handle on the Law.
If you're injured and need a lawyer, go to handleonthelaw.com.
KFI AM 640. More stimulating talk.
Good morning, Bill Handel here. As we finish the show, and a quick reminder for those of you that are on hold, I'll get to you even after we get off the air, just to let you know. So don't go away. Also, if you do call in, lines are filled, are full. What was that? Computer is making weird noises. And the lines are full. Wait 5 minutes, 10 minutes, because I hang up on people, as you know. So we'll be there. I'll be there for a while. Back we go. Handle on the Law. Marginal legal advice. Debbie. Hi, Debbie.
Hi,
Debbie, you there?
Hello.
Yes.
I'm here.
Okay. Yes.
Oh, okay, perfect. I wanted to know if I'm behind on my taxes 5 years, is it better to go through a company that deals with that or the IRS directly?
You're not going to go to the IRS directly. You have to go to an accountant and deal with it because then you have to amend your returns. You have to file 5 years worth of returns. That's for starters. And then start negotiating like crazy. What kind of money did you make over the last 5 years that you didn't file taxes?
Well, I make I don't know the number a year.
Yeah, give me a number a year over the last 5 years.
Okay, 50. Oh, I don't know.
All right, $50,000 a year for 5 years, and you haven't filed any taxes. All right, so let me ask you a question. How many levels of idiocy do you think you're experiencing right now? I can think of five. Okay, you need to get hold of an accountant. You're going to have to amend your returns. You are not going to deal with the IRS on your own on this one. Not under those circumstances. Frankly, I won't talk to the IRS. If I have an issue, and I'm talking about it my entire life. I mean, I've always filed my taxes, but if there's an issue with the IRS, I go to an accountant and go, you guys deal with them, because you're in way, way over your head when that happens. Martha. Hello, Martha. Welcome to Handle on the Law. Martha, you there?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, here's how it works. You say hello. I say hello. You ask a question, I answer it. So what can I do for you?
My husband was carjacked.
Ooh.
At a strip mall.
Ooh.
He was injured. He's still in the hospital.
Oh, my God.
He's been there for a month. Is the strip mall in any way liable?
That's a good question. Probably not, especially if you're talking about a strip mall that has a limited number of stores in it. I'm sure there's video so they can recognize whoever it was, hopefully. Here's the problem is one of the issues about liability is there has to be, you have to connect the dots, duty and then breach and then the causation that actually has to cause it. And then there has to be real damages. Criminal acts in the middle of all that are considered intervening acts. And you can't reasonably anticipate that someone is going to be carjacked. Because what does that mean? Do you hire a guard? Do you hire an armed guard? And so, no, I don't think the strip mall would be liable unless this has happened a bunch of times before and there is a pattern. But, man, is it worth it? Obviously, he was pretty banged up, wasn't he, Martha?
Very bad.
Oh, my God. That is a month in a hospital already. That's pretty horrific. You know what? It's worth calling a personal injury lawyer just to see if there's anything there. Because when you have damages that are that extraordinary, you make a claim. The strip mall owners definitely have insurance policies, and they're pretty healthy amount of money. And when someone is hurt that badly, believe me, a lawyer will look at it very carefully to see if there's any liability there. The damages are there. It's extraordinary. So go to handleonthelaw.com, Martha, and look at personal injury lawyers because that's what you have there.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's okay. Man, that's a tough one. My wife was carjacked, but she wasn't hurt. You know, thank goodness. And all they did was steal the car. And here's a fun one. This was before OJ, so it's a million years ago. The detective assigned to her case was Mark Furman of OJ fame. We got, pretty close to Mark. Nice guy, by the way. I just want to let you know, a hell of a cop. I mean, there were some issues, obviously, that he got involved in. But the first interview he ever gave was my show. And after the interview, he said, thank you, Bill. You taught me a very powerful lesson. I'm never going to give another interview for the rest of my life. So I'm pretty happy with myself. All right. For those of you, as we're ending the show, I want to point out, for those of you that are still on hold, do not go away. For those of you that are, you try to call in and the lines are busy, just call back in a few minutes. Because what I now do is I answer all the calls that come in until I'm out of calls. And so I'll stay a while afterwards because I've been, a lot of complaints over the years. You get off the air and we still have questions. So I'll do it. And because I'm a nice guy. Did I just say that? Oh, I'm sorry. I just had a chill go up and down my spine. So hang loose. The number to call if you want to call in, still off the air, 800-520-1534, 800-520-1534. This is
Handle on the Law.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.